Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know why Dion's going out with a high school boy. I mean, they're like dogs. You have to clean them and feed them, and they're just like these nervous creatures that jump and slobber all over you.
Ew! Get off of me!
If you know the line that comes next, there's a really good chance you were a huge fan of the 1995 coming-of-age classic, Clueless.
Ugh, as if!
Or you are, in fact, mortified intern and Clueless quoter, Cece Clark.
Ugh, as if!
Though she wasn't even born when Clueless came out, Cece was still heavily influenced by the movie.
There was definitely a period, probably in 8th grade and 9th grade, where I would watch it at least once a month.
Cece not only had the movie on repeat, but she also copied its fashion in an effort to overcome her own social awkwardness.
I loved, 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 loved the style. I remember I got a plaid skirt in high school that I would wear a lot, and I remember I wore it with literally a red sweater, like a cardigan buttoned up with like a white button down underneath. And I literally thought I was Cher.
Where's my white collarless shirt from Fred Siegel?
And such devotion is a testament to the way in which one movie can speak to multiple generations, even one that came out 2.5 decades ago.
Oh my God, I'm totally bugging.
From PRX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Dave, and today on the show, we're commemorating a movie that shockingly came out 25 years ago this month.
All people can be so sweet.
By sharing journals of teenagers experiencing total makeovers.
She could be a farmer in those clothes.
Just like in the plot of the classic high school movie, Clueless, only like realer. New hair, new clothes, new friends. Tales of teenage reinvention inspired by the wisdom of Cher. If I could turn back to- No, the other Cher.
Whatever.
Hey guys, my name is Rachel.
When Rachel Music was growing up, she too loved Clueless.
What I loved about Clueless was, as kind of an awkward kid, is here are these queen bees, you know, they just run that school and they're so confident. And I was obsessed with that. They were different creatures.
But Rachel wasn't exactly the popular girl who had everything under control.
I went to a private Christian school in a super conservative part of Pennsylvania all the way up until 6th grade. And then I moved. So I'm starting a brand new secular school and it's middle school. I was a nerd. I was spelling bee champion. I was the kid who would ask for extra credit questions, and suddenly status was important, and status meant who you hung out with and what you looked like and what you dressed.
And that's when Rachel knew she needed the same thing that Ty got in the movie, a makeover.
Once I decided I wasn't that nerd anymore, I realized that I wanted to use fashion to make sure that everybody in the halls, everybody in the classroom, saw that that's not who I was anymore. I wanted them to notice me. I didn't have a Cher. I didn't have a Dion, which is a much more fraught path.
And Rachel wanted so badly for everyone to notice how much she changed that she wrote about it online.
I had a Zanga page. Does anyone remember Zanga? My username was JavaJunkie24601. You know, when you like beatniks and Les Mis and maybe don't quite know what a junkie is yet. And I started every one of my posts by describing what I'd been wearing that day. And so I humbly present for the first time in 14 years, today's look. February 2nd, today's look, Marilyn on morphine. Black halter, fishnets, platforms. February 8th, today's look, where is my Marlboro man? Where is his shiny gun? Where is my Lonely Ranger? Where have all the cowboys gone? Ill-fitting jeans, black shirt, boots, funkadelic braids, and a 10-gallon hat, of course, meaning 10 gallons of hat hair. February 9th, today's look, a Key West dominatrix. Retro green halter top that quite holds itself up. Aqua spandex, bluish scarf, knee-high boots, and makeup that was all gold, right, and all silver, left. I blow two-tone kisses your way! February 11th. Today's look, I'm feeling tragic like Marlon Brando. I shoved some tiny sunglasses onto my bright purple sweatshirt over those pants that seem too tight for the first 14 minutes you wear them. February 14th. Today's look. My heart is one of those honey-filled cough drops. Simple, summer-esque print dress. Subtle striped stockings. Black collar top. Vaguely composed and consistent. It's my last Valentine's will and testament. A way to proclaim to the end with a feisty cry. Take that, you unaffectionate, forgetful, non-Valentine-giving bastards. February 17th, today's look. Does this color complement my eyes? Hello, my eyes are up here. Trusty sports bra, curves t-shirt with the entire neckline hacked out, Flashdance-esque. With scrawled Sharpie sentiments from friends, half-friends, and complete strangers. And of course, my Rachel, your ass looks great in those jeans. Note, the aforementioned quote was uttered by a girl, by my friend, so it could be discredited. It might not hold up in ass court. Ladies and gentlemen of the ass jury, disregard that last comment. March 22nd, picture it. Rachel sitting in her black shirt and vibrant yellow cotton pants and Maui gym shades. Today's look, archaic bumblebee. April 16th, today's look, dabba-dee-dabba-die. Denim capris, blue shirt, blue scarf-esque belt. Blue eyes, kinda stuck with those though. Not that I'm complaining about a rogue dominant trait on my maternal genome. April 20th, today's look, 80s patio furniture. Really phoned it in.
Today's look featured prominently for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years of it. I think that I started with so many different looks because I didn't know who I was and I just wanted any sort of identity. But the more that I did it, being the girl who wore whatever she wanted ended up being the identity that I took on. And so the confidence to wear whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, rubbed off on me. It was a fake it till you make it kind of thing.
So this would continue all through high school and beyond until I was eventually awarded a senior superlative that existed only that year. Most eccentric. Thanks, guys.
That was Rachel Music at a Mortified event in Brooklyn at Littlefield, as our tales of teenage reinvention continue.
Do you like the stories you hear on the Mortified podcast? See it live. We've got upcoming shows in cities across the country. This week, you can catch us in Baltimore and Los Angeles. This spring, you can catch events in Portland, San Francisco, Oakland, Austin, Chicago, Brooklyn, DC, and more. Get your tickets at getmortified.com.
My name's Lisa Nguyen, and I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina. Woo! Growing up, I was very aware of the lack of diversity in the South. I was one of only three Asians in my grade.
As a kid, Lisa Nguyen was not exactly the most extroverted kid in class.
I was extremely shy, introverted, and insecure about my cultural differences. I did not learn English until the first grade and was pretty much mute until middle school.
But when Lisa entered adolescence, she was done being the quiet kid. Enter the new Lisa, brash and boy crazy, sort of like a character in Clueless.
I finally felt that I was coming out of my shell and had a taste of what it was like to be cool for once, and tried to prove this not only to the rest of my friends and classmates, but to my diary as well. May 11th, 2003. Happy Mother's Day. Anyway, I told Samantha and Allie about the cybersex thing. Samantha took it so opposite of Allie. Sam was like, "Lisa, you naughty girl." And Allie was all, "I need to / want to try that." Ha 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 ha. Casey Jr., the ninth grader which I had cybersex with, he says he is muscular and weighs 100 pounds. He says his dick is 8 inches long. He has blondish brown hair, hazel eyes, Irish, and thinks Asians are hot. He's intelligent, sweet, and sticking up for me. He lives out of the city in New York. I love him. May 23rd, Chris, that guy that had sex who's on my bus, I need to call him. Allie dared me to, and I need to find his phone number. I miss my friends, mostly Samantha. May 31st, people say I'm not afraid to say dick. Well, it's not that hard to say. Anyway. If Dick's Sporting Goods aren't afraid of naming a store after it, why shouldn't I be? June 1st, Samantha, my bestest buddy, along with the other two, has all two dimples, brown goldish hair, blue eyes, talking to her now. She got her period today. When I stopped mine, we're way too much in sync. Cool. July 27th, let me correct my last entry on Samantha. Copycat, selfish, a bitch, selfish, annoys me like hell, talks differently to Tracy like a sweet bunny. I swear her voice changes. To me, she's always like, "Oh, look at that girl, she is such a slut." And to Tracy, she's like, "Oh, I love everyone, especially you, Tracy. You're like my world and my life. Get a grip on yourself, whore. Learn how to talk normal." I think getting popular obviously got to my head. I mean, as a part of the nerd crew, though, not like the actual popular people. I kind of became the tie in the fact of, like, post-makeover, where she didn't handle popularity very well and actually went against the people that, like, brought her up to that status. I remember even going as so far as to assigning two of my friends days that they could sit next to me in class, which, I mean, looking back, it's so embarrassing because who did I think I was? I think I'm growing popular at school. How weird is that?
People are asking me out. Everyone, absolutely everyone, is being so nice to me all of a sudden. They like me. They really, really like me. Haha. Believe me, I'm not a slut. Don't worry. Also, everyone is copying me. It's annoying like hell. March 21st, 2004. I just got a pimple on my boob. That isn't normal, is it? What if it's cancer? I don't know, the pimple on the Nunga Nunga cancer. I'm scared. April 1st. I finally made my move and held hands with James. Jeez, that took forever. Literally. Went to Outback, said it was my birthday. It wasn't. They sang the song, and the guy twisted the light to my face. I don't need it. My face is already too brilliant for some people to handle. June 16th, 2006. So where do I start? Another school year has just ended, and I'm a junior now. Woo woo! So I've accomplished my New Year's resolution. Date a white guy. I did. Been there and done that. At Wrightsville Beach yesterday, a guy invited me to a keg party. Gave his number and everything. Name's Mark, like way older, and apparently unaware I'm 6 years under drinking age. So, first official invitation to keg party. Not going though. I just didn't want to make him embarrassed, so I said I might come. By the way, I kept spelling cum, C-U-M, not knowing what it was. And thinking it was the cool way to spell it. But I lied. Not really, though. Just didn't tell some useful info. Hee hee. Signed, the bodacious babe. So as my diary started to fade and occur less and less frequently, the more confident I became in myself and my identity, I finally learned to be more expressive, made more friends, was actually dating more than just a white guy, and was that much closer to figuring out who I was, flaws and all. And while I'm still finding out new details about myself now as an adult and still evolving, it's funny how much of how I describe myself as a teenager still remains true today. June 23rd, 2006. So, who am I? I'm Vietnamese, a woman, but still a girl. Naive, innocent, straightforward, control freak, frustrated, short temper, stubborn. Signed, a clueless Asian girl. Thank you.
That was Lisa Nguyen at a Mortified event in Los Angeles, as our clueless makeovers continue.
So I grew up on Long Island as a really well-adjusted girl. I was a dancer and a gymnast.
In eighth grade, Elisa may have seemed a bit like one of the characters in the movie Clueless. Just like the teens in the film, she ran with the in crowd.
They were shallow people, interested in shallow things, and you know, enjoyed being mean to people. And I had escaped all of that for a long time because I was popular. I was a part of the group.
The difference between her and other girls? Elisa was actually in the film Clueless as Amber, the fiery redhead known for saying ladylike things such as,
"Miss Stoger, my plastic surgeon doesn't want me doing any activity where balls fly at my nose."
And in real life, Elisa was thrilled to be one of the popular girls. Until one day,
my popular friends, this like group of girls, they suddenly all turned their backs on me in eighth grade. I remember there was a boy that I liked, and maybe he liked me more than he liked one of these popular friends. And then, whoa, the tables turned. I went from being this like popular kid to no one speaking to me. And then if they walked by, then they would start whispering to each other.
And to her surprise, she found acceptance amongst another clique, one comprised of artists, anarchists, and punks.
And then I discovered, oh, I'm actually like these people. They are creative and they're expressive. They have something to say.
And so weirdly, kind of like the plot of Clueless, Elisa went through a makeover. Only instead of becoming more 90s preppy, Elisa became more 80s.
Anti-establishment.
The first time I saw a pair of creepers with the buckles and black crinoline skirts, I was like, these are my people. This is what I will wear till the day I die.
Elisa joined us on the Mortified stage back in 2010 to share teenage writings about the moment when she
became a nonconformist gothic punk.
And not just any nonconformist gothic punk, but one who wrote a manifesto against other kids attempting to undergo the same transformation that she did.
At the very mature and well-seasoned age of 17 and a half, I discovered that, even the nonconformists were full of crap. And I just began to rebel against being rebellious. God, everything had changed so much. It used to be so right, so true. No bullshit, no lies, no fake people, no trying so hard to prove something to someone. Just people. We knew what it was really all about. All a person has to do is tease their hair and wear black clothes and they're a punk or a freak. God, I get so angry. I can't wait for another 10 years from now when I can see one of those little poser shits on the street going to work, probably a complete yuppie. When being a weirdo is no longer in, then they'll see who is a true human being. We'll see who stays in the scene and lives it. It's not black clothes. It's not shaved heads and mohawks. It's not ripped pants. It's people. People sick of the shit that society dishes out and warps your brain with. People sick of the hate, the racism, the boundaries, and the bombs. People sick of the slaughter and sick of the government. I hate using the term poser or trendy, so I choose not to. I choose just to not speak to them or acknowledge them in any way. They don't exist in my world. I am who I am, and I don't give a shit what you think. Okay, after a few more anti-fur marches and I ripping my stockings and dyeing my hair and teasing it, and I'm fully, fully committing myself to a life of anarchy and nonconformity. And I started to experiment a little bit with some illegal substances, and I began to really explore my creativity. And in this case, with the usage of a lot of colored markers. And so this is a letter that I wrote to my best friend while she was away at the summer school for the arts in upstate New York. And I was 17, and I was tripping on acid in my bedroom alone. So this is the letter. Warning. Mags, this letter must not fall into the wrong hands. Such as Linda, Malcolm, Charlotte, or Jack. For it could prove to be highly detrimental to my health. In other words, I'd be dicked. Mags! Change color, change color, change color, change color. Hello, 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 my sweet. How art thou? I am alone in my room right now. It's rather late. I wish I knew the time, but I don't because our power went off for a little bit, and now my clock is fucked. Change color. But now I know it's late because I heard the clock downstairs go ding, 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 ding. So I guess that it's probably about 4 a.m. Change color. Kira and Andy and I dosed this evening. This is why I can't sleep. I looked through photo albums from the eighth grade up until now. It was very strange. Needless to say, it brought back very vivid memories for me. Here's a helpful hint for you, change color. If you ever find yourself tripping alone, underline exclamation point, in the middle of the night with your parents down the hall from you, don't look through photo albums. That probably doesn't make sense to you, but I just had to say it. Change color. Anyway, dot, 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 dot. So how is life down, parentheses, or is it up in good old Buffalo? I can't wait to come visit. Tell Mike, my love, that I say hello and what's up and all that sort of thing. Actually, Just show him this segment of the letter. What's up, Mike? Change color. How's it going, buddy? Love and kisses. Change color. So tell me, Mags, are there any hip cats down there or what? Change color. Do you like it? Or are your roommates dorks? Change color. How's the food? Better than home? Change color. But seriously now, parentheses, you know I'm getting serious when I write in green, exclamation point, parentheses, joke, just kidding, parentheses. I can't wait to hear about everything that's going on down there. Change color. Sorry about change color, all the different colors that I'm writing in, but I just seem to be getting really bored with each color, change color so quickly that I have to move on to another one. Change color, you understand! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Whoa! Change color, exclamation point, you won't believe what just happened. Charlotte just walked in my room and started asking very strange questions. She's like, what are you doing? Change color. Do you know what time it is? Exclamation point, question mark, change color. So do you think she knows that I'm dosed or what? Change color. It's raining out. Pouring, actually. And there was thunder and lightning before. Change color. Andy and Kira and I were gonna go see Who Framed Roger Rabbit tonight. Change color. Well, I guess I better say goodbye for now because I think I might be getting tired. Parentheses. I hope so. I hope so. I really hope so. Parentheses. Change color. Please take care of yourself and learn a lot. Heart. Smiley face. Peace sign. Environmental sign. Anarchy symbol. Spider web. Spider. Love, Lisa. Oh, change color. I almost forgot. Change color. I feel like a wub. I have no idea what that means. Change color. P.S. Beware of old men wandering around drinking coffee out of paper cups. I'll explain some other time, but seriously, beware of them. P.P.S. Change color. Otis Spunkmeyer sends his love. Change color. Yummy, 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 yummy. Change color. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Change color. Yummy, yummy. Change color. Yummy. What a strange word.
Thanks. So I absolutely based Amber on all of the girls who had turned their backs on me in junior high. So that person is 100% an amalgamation of all of the things I could not stand about these girls. So then when I got the script and I read who Amber was, I went, oh, I know exactly who this is. I just thought about these girls and how judgmental they were. So basically, being rejected by this group of girls led to me finding my group of artists and my creative life, which then led to me getting a job in a film in which I emulated these people who had rejected me. It's kind of like the best revenge ever. It's very punk rock, right?
And this concludes our tribute to Clueless, where we learned if you want to transform yourself, sometimes all it takes is a little friendly pep talk.
Get a grip on yourself, whore. Learn how to talk normal.
Everything shared on today's show was true, no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. If you'd like to support Mortified, we have two great ways for you to show us love right now. First, we tell your friends on social media about an episode of this podcast that you totally love. Second, you can purchase our upcoming home game. That's right, from the makers of Mortified, I Can't Believe I Did That, is a hilarious game that prompts you and your friends to share ridiculous adolescent memories, the good, the bad, the awkward. Now available for pre-orders at getmortified.com/game, also available on Amazon. I hope you'll pre-order it. We'd really love your support. And if you're craving more mortification, today's episode actually pairs very nice with episode 98, our tribute to the movie Mean Girls, featuring actor Daniel Franzese on our show, sharing his real-life story about how a mean girl at his school changed his life forever. Find the full list of episodes at getmortified.com/podcast. For companies wishing to support our podcast while reaching kajillions of listeners with remarkable taste, email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. This series is a team effort. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Cece Clark, Rachel Carlson, Hadley Dion, Neil Ketcher, and myself, Dave Nadelberg. Special thanks to Jolie Villegas, who was sadly cut from this episode and who is very likely right now somewhere out there rolling with her homies. Some of the stories featured here were produced for the stage by Rhea Sardana and Christina Galante. And if you'd enjoy hearing more from Clueless alum Elisa Donovan, good news, she's actually publishing a memoir in 2021 called Wake Me When You Leave. And it's about
losing my dad to cancer and how it changed my life and my career.
And while we're excited to read it, Elisa knows of one critic who'd be tough to please.
Would Amber ever read this book? I'm pretty sure after the first chapter or two, she would say, "Why am I reading this? I'm not even in this book."
Musicians frequently heard in our series include Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snakes. Additional thanks to all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. This has been a Mortified Media production for Radiotopia, a network from PRX. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, and we are fragile, and we are also pretty damn clueless.